This is Room in the Trees, a podcast about living a creative life. Room in the Trees is hosted by Sabrina Ward Harrison and me, Trent Reynolds.
Show notes, including pictures, links, video, and more for every episode, can be found at roominthetrees.com.
If you like this podcast, please consider showing your support. You can become a subscribing patron at patreon.com/room.
And now here's this week's episode.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Here we are on a Tuesday afternoon. It's been a while since we've recorded on Tuesday, hasn't it?
It has. It feels like so in the schedule, kind of.
Do you feel like you're more scheduled, more like, do you have a calendar? Do you have a...
I do.
Write things down? And is it an electric calendar or is it a physical calendar?
It's a paper one that's like a big date book. Mm-hmm. But it's set for, you know, people that have back to back to back all day long, and I don't really have it like quite like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do have a calendar, and then Sean got me a big one. I just need the visual. I need to see the whole month really big. And there's some tool store that gives away these really big calendars that I saw at his house. I thought I want one of those. So, well, what about you with your calendar? What's your tracking?
Well, you know, like for a long time, I found the easiest and just like the least stressful was to print out a weekly calendar just from the calendar application on my laptop. I tried to do it on computer, but then I just never could be consistent with it. And I think like you, I really liked the visual and I like to be able to underline and put in bold and put like a little cloud around something, ways to kind of communicate visually.
Yeah.
But then when it like became like both Laura and I and trying to merge our schedules, and like after a couple of years of just like us both missing big events on each other's calendars, you know?
Yeah.
We just had to force ourselves to use the electronic calendar. So we use Fantastical, a combination of Fantastical and then just the Mac OS calendar.
Oh, so what's Fantastical?
Fantastical, I use it on my phone. It's just a lot, the user interface is just a lot cleaner and simpler than the calendar app on that just comes with the phone.
Right.
I just prefer it. But I do miss, so for probably, it must have been years, I tried every calendar app that came along, hoping that I could find something like more like paper where I could annotate, where I could like draw on it or do something like add images, because I wanted to be able to like be able to look at it and have more visual indication. And BusyCal had the ability to add like little icons and stuff, but it was kind of clunky. Anyway, I would love to have a calendar app that felt more like the old analog calendar. But
I think there's continually people are trying to figure out ways to organize. Because I'm always thinking, how can I visually, I need to visually see, like as I'm thinking about a project that's maybe 90 days out, how can I visually friggin' see the whole thing and see the steps and break stuff down into like, okay, this is this week's goal. And I like to cross things off also. Like I don't want to just have like the feeling of like done, this has happened, this is done.
Right. Yeah, there's something about, like having something in the real world. I don't know. I guess this is a recurring theme on the podcast is, you know, like just the physicality of things, importance of like understanding things, not just in your mind conceptually or like as a thought, but finding ways to interact with information in the real world, like crossing things off, underlining, creating like colors. And I don't know. I think there's something just how I process, like how I understand even what I'm doing day to day, you know, it helps me to have some kind of visualization of that.
Do you schedule in art making time?
No, I don't know. As we have this conversation, I'm realizing how much of what I struggle with is related to my struggle in like organizing my time, you know, and making borders around the things that, you know, that matter the most, because it can so easily just get chopped up into unusable pieces. So it's a hard thing to do. And I think like people that are really productive and effective are really good. I think maybe this is just, you know, an assumption I make, but are really good with calendaring and planning and organizing, you know, how they use their time.
And I agree. And I think that there's something about when you just stick, for me, that I need to kind of implement a bit more, is like just sticking with the friggin' plan. Like just like, say we were going to, like, for example, I'm trying to begin to start doing things like Facebook Live, and it's very easy to go, I don't feel up for it today. I don't feel like I'm on enough. I can be like, what if I just had to? And, you know, what if we had to record a podcast episode, like just sort of, or like art wise, like, oh, I don't feel like I'm in that zone yet. And I was saying to my students, like, what if, you know, we just have to sort of get the stage set and just start in, so that whether we want to or not, just, and then you kind of get there and you act until it's real.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. Stephen Prescott in The War of Art talks a lot about that, about how, you know, the difference between when you go pro is the terminology he uses, but it's like, you know, you don't have to wait till you're in the mood. You just have to show up on time and do it every day, you know, or on schedule. And the process, that's a process of training. I think you kind of train yourself to get into that habit. I don't know. And creativity, it seems like would follow that. It brings its own kind of creativity. I think the consistency and repetition of having that habit. Like these past few days, I've been feeling like the kids are sleeping better now. They're all in the same room. Like we have a fairly predictable like bedtime at 7 o'clock, and everybody's up, you know, by 6:30. And and just that ability to kind of predict that in that system, and nobody's here until last night. The pattern was broken last night, so I kind of say that hesitantly. But that has just opened up all sorts of, like, it's created hope, I guess, you know, and it creates this space, you know, for like just bandwidth, mental bandwidth of being able to say, like, now I can see how there's a new or now that it's possible to do all this stuff that just felt so impossible before. So, you know, when we're talking about scheduling and stuff like that, like recently, it's just, I've been feeling a lot more hopeful about, you know, pulling out of this like feeling of just being blown out, you know, having no extra space for anything other than just survival, you know?
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, it's been a really good feeling this past probably, you know, week or two.
So much hats off to Laura for all that. She's incredible. Mother.
She is.
You're an incredible dad, and she's an incredible mom.
That's one of the hardest things about being in a, you know, two-bedroom apartment with four kids is there is no space. And like my sacred space is the bathroom in the morning. You know, I've got the shower running, so there's kind of white noise.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm by myself and nobody else is awake. But recently my kids have been even taking that from me. Like Zoe, our youngest, our baby, she'll start just pushing things under the door, like magazine pages, anything she can pull off the side, like the bedside table. And then the other day she started feeding a vacuum cord underneath the door.
Like hilarious.
They cannot leave me, you know, my little private space. Or they stick their fingers and just like wiggling underneath the door.
Anyway. Oh my God.
Well, that might be a place to or a conversation worth having. And that is like, especially now when we've got this permanent record online of our life, right? Like it can become difficult to make a separation and become a new person or kind of expand yourself or leave the last chapter behind and move on to something new. Cause there's always this kind of record that is accessible by you and anybody else. Right.
Right.
And I think for you, you've probably experienced this in your life more than most. I mean, you have a book and lots of people love that book and start to identify with it and becomes like part of their, an important part of their formative years. And that's always going to be attached to you, right? So how do you...
Five of them too.
Right. I know. Exactly. And maybe that's, yeah, maybe that's the way that you were able to do it, is like, is by writing another book, you were able to kind of say, this is the end of that part of my life, and I'm, this is who I am now. Right. But I think it's challenging. I feel that like with my artwork, as it's gone more abstract, like, it's been a difficult, kind of a mind, you know, a tough state of mind change to make, that, you know, it, even like, I feel like a cheater or a traitor, like I'm not really an abstract artist. You know, I, for years and years and years, I did very representational stuff, you know?
Right.
So it's just like, A, giving myself permission, you know, to be something new that I haven't been before. And not feeling like, you know, I'm just, you know, there's kind of a weight of legitimacy that comes with doing something for many years. And when you let go of that, it, you feel a little bit like you're not on solid ground, because it's new territory for you and it doesn't have the weight of like experience and history.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yet we're so drawn in life to evolve and change and grow and try and explore, and become, you know, more and more dimensional as people.
But there are serious forces at play, both, I think, friends, family, jobs, you know, identities as, you know, positions within jobs. There's so many things at play that try to force us back into the expected role that we've always played, you know, not allowing us to try new things or to step away from an identity that, you know, that we've already had. I felt that especially strongly. I spent 2 years in the Philippines, and I had this like life-changing experience. And for the first time felt like I had kind of understood who I was, you know, in a very real way.
Yeah.
Because I was so distant from my family, from my friends, from everything I knew. Like, it was this moment where I was able to see myself independent of all that history and all that, you know, all I had been before, you know?
Right.
And then I remember coming home, and then, you know, friends and family are, you know, basically say like, how was your trip? And it was like, I'd been gone for 5 days, you know, when it had been this, such an impactful, like, mind altering. Yeah. And they just start treating me like they've always treated me, you know, and it's so hard to not just slide right back into that, those familiar modes of behavior and communication. And it's frustrating because you feel like, wait a second, I know I'm not this person. I know I can be, you know, and I think that's probably the case with, you know, and I was thinking of my friend, Chris D'Elia. We were friends in high school. I don't know. I think we were more than just acquaintances. We definitely hung out, and we have lots of mutual friends. We weren't super like super tight buddies, you know, friends forever type deal. But then he started, you know, getting more attention with his stand up and then TV and movies and stuff like that. So, but I imagine people that get that kind of celebrity and that kind of recognition, it's probably not too dissimilar from going to a completely different country and having this huge transformation, you know, and becoming just having this different side of them expressed and developed, and just not feeling like they know how to come back and be that person they were before that experience. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I don't
and
know.
And people don't really let them because they're looked at differently and they can't control.
Exactly.
That.
Yep. Yeah. And then, you know, they're trying to perpetuate the success and it's this kind of self-reinforcing process where they can't break out of that mold that they've created for themselves and that people want them to stay in. I don't know. I think that's like that macro scale, that large scale process, I think happens on a much smaller scale, just day to day, you know, like there's so many ways that we get ourselves into ruts and just, you know, there's so many good excuses to not move or change or evolve or let go of, you know, whatever weight is holding us down.
And I think when it comes to artwork, art making, that can be something where, the vulnerability of letting things be different and like going, well, I always used to always collage with this stuff, or I always used to paint with this kind of brush. And I admire that so much about your creative evolution has been to just to be that vulnerable side of exploration of like, because you're really, really, really good at representational, beautiful work. And then, which like I, for one, am entirely inept at to say, you know, I'm going to explore this other, this is kind of what is exciting and new territory.
I wonder if you've seen this in your workshops. In fact, I imagine you have, is like where you see somebody and you can imagine the internal dialogue, like, I'm not somebody who does this. I'm not somebody who takes a nasty paintbrush, you know, that is slobbery and throws it at the paper. You know, I'm not that person, but then you see them do that. And it's like this, they break through this, you know, barrier that was entirely fictional, that was entirely of their own making. And it's like this, you know, this world of possibility opens up. You know, I guess that's the kind of thing that just is the most wonderful thing to see as a teacher, you know, is to be able to see when somebody realizes that this whole thing is there, that can be them if they choose it, you know, that, you know, they have this potential to become this new thing. I don't know. I feel like I'm talking in very kind of like woo-woo language, but it is such a, you know, so, so exciting to see somebody, you know, realize that what they really desire is right there. You know, it's just, it was a decision away. It was like, no, I'm not going to organize everything to death, and I'm going to take this pencil and break it in half. Like, I could have done that any day I chose.
Right.
But that little bit of like just breaking a pattern or breaking, I don't know. I'm saying the same thing over and over again, but anyway, my intention there was to ask you a question, is like, how does that, does a similar experience happen to you in your workshops? And I guess that's kind of a rhetorical question, because I think it obviously.
Oh, it's my favorite part. It's like, let me free you, you know, like loving to see. I think so many people come to my workshops who are really wanting that liberation of setting themselves free. And so my whole calling is in that area of helping that facilitate that happening. There's such gratification in seeing that those little shifts happening. They're really small. Like someone will come in and say, I don't want to get paint on, I want to use gloves. And yes, of course there's like, oh, you shouldn't use certain, get paint on your hands, but like, come on. Also, there's a part that's like, the way kids, you know, if you're working with temper paint and you've got, you know, you've got temper paint on your hands, like it's okay. Like kids play with paint on their hands. So, but seeing them like not having their gloves on, like letting them take their gloves off midway through and just get their hands covered in paint and just seeing their faces light up, and then they're suddenly barefoot in the paint and they're just, I see the sort of deep breath happen and their shoulders kind of drop down, and I can just picture it in my mind. Different times, different people have had those moments, you know, in their own way. Mm-hmm. And I feel it for myself, even as a teacher, there's a part that wants to think I want to teach it well. I want to teach it and teach them everything. And then there's like, when I can get into my flow and I'm just shooting from the hip and, in my element and being my weird self and dancing a little bit, there's a euphoria that can hit right then that I love, but it comes by way of being vulnerable and not knowing where it's going to go,
definitely
how it's going to get there and what it's going to look like.
Well, there's this wonderful virtuous cycle that happens. Like when somebody hits that point, that energy is reflected back on you. And I think the excitement that brings, or the kind of empowerment that brings to you as a teacher, then allows you to open up and achieve a level of vulnerability or transcendence or like whatever word you want to use. But it's just, this energy goes back and forth. I think that's one of the most powerful things about teaching, is that
you
know, both student and teacher are lifted. That is one of the things that I feel like I've had from the start. I feel like that's one of the things that I'm here to learn from you, because I feel like it's something that you do so well. It's something that I admire about you, and I something that seems, I'm not going to say that you didn't work hard to get to that level, but it's something, like you said, is I feel like it's what you're here to do, you know? And right. I don't know. I think you have a certain, I don't know, there's something about your nature that is especially suited to that. I feel like that is part of the reason that I'm part of this conversation is to learn that from you. So I appreciate you.
Yeah. Well, and it's, as I think about as technology changes, technology grows and changes, and more and more people are, you know, say teaching something on Facebook Live and putting themselves into a situation where they're, you know, teaching publicly to people that aren't necessarily, you know, students that have signed up for a class, but you're just offering something out there. I've been wanting to, since last month, I wanted to do this called, it's like spilling open stories, of just telling it page by page of the book, like this backstory of how I created the piece, the page, and maybe a little anecdote, because I remember making each one of them. Mm-hmm. And I kind of overthink it, and I think, okay, well, I'll film it first and then edit that, and then I'll transcribe it and I'll make it an Instagram post. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, and then I think, well, there's not enough on about that page that I can explain, and blah, 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 blah. And I think then I think of some new plan. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to open the book, and whatever page that is, I'm just going to tell something about that page. So I think that might be the way to go. But it is, when you teach in a fluid way of not necessarily having like, this is the exactly what I'm going to talk about, this is a demo I'm going to do or something, it's sometimes, and I just have to get used to it. It's just stepping into, like, I don't know how it's going to go. Don't know what I'm going to exactly talk about, but I got to just do it. Because ultimately at the end, I feel good. I feel great that I did. Oh, but I could just talk myself right out of it so easily.
Yeah.
Even though all the people that are watching are lovely, great people for the most part, I imagine.
I wonder if there's not a connection to this and what we were talking at the beginning with calendars, though, is that I think there's a tension between this desire to organize and create a container of time. As much as I love containers, that is kind of contrary to creative process. You know, like, you can't force something, you know, like you can't plan it. It's just gotta happen, right? Like, to a certain degree, creativity can't be scheduled. As much as I do think, you know, just like you were saying, you do need to create habits of showing up and working. You know, it's like, I feel like there's this tension between wanting to create order, but then the natural kind of process of be involved in creativity of just letting it happen, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree. And also, though, when it comes to, like, the balance between thinking about it and thinking, God, I really want to do this, and then the feeling of having it just done and just doing it. Mm-hmm. I think that, like, I could have thought out Liberate last year, and as I created it, and thought, oh, I could spend another year working on it or something. And it's like, you gotta just put it out there. You gotta start teaching. So,
well, that's
that
what,
sense of a calendar, like, has been really effective.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I wonder, though, if it's like, oh goodness, I think there's something so important in that. You know, when you're in the moment of being creative, like, whether it's scheduled or not scheduled, you're like, you're there, right?
Right.
The thought of then trying to contain that, you know, to try to plan that, or like, okay, I'm going to do this again on Tuesday at 4:00. Like, there's something just, I believe that kind of fights between those two things.
Yes.
And I think, and so I'm just saying, like, I innately, like, part of the joy of the process is that spontaneity. And I think as creatives, like, we kind of fight to have to, you know, I guess be grown up about it and put it on the calendar.
Yeah, but I know we have to, it's the grown up part. Yeah, like we have to schedule time to be maybe spontaneous. Like if I know that I have to, you know, like every time I taught live last year, I was super nervous and thinking, I can't. But then I'm doing it. And afterwards I'm like high-fiving Megan. I'm like, we did it. That was awesome. And I feel great that I did, but only because it was scheduled and people were going to be there waiting for me to jump online and be there. And I was always so glad I was. I mean, obviously I was going to be there, but like in my introverted part that thought I can't do it. It's like afterwards it felt really good that I did. So
yeah. There is power in structure, power in planning.
Yes, there's power in structure.
And committing and fulfilling those commitments, I think.
If you were to see me, if you were to wanted to see me teach, what would you like to see? If you were to, if I was to do a demo about something, is there something you picture?
What I feel like I've drawn or been most interested in over the years of our conversations is hearing about the stories of like the time when you were in that, in, I think it was Manhattan or Brooklyn or somewhere on the, on like a rooftop and you brought everybody, it was this like little apartment and like those moments of spontaneity and how you were able to turn that into something that was invigorating and freeing for the people that were involved.
Oh yeah.
And there are so many different examples of that and so many different stories that have been told over the course of our conversation that, I think I would like to have kind of like the, you know, when we did Decisive Action is, you know, I guess more than a video that I would like to see of you demonstrating, I would just like to be there, a fly on the wall or a participant, you know, a passive participant when you have one of those moments where it's just like, you know, we're here and this is happening, you know, and we're going to.
Interesting. Because I document so much with video, so I have all this film footage of it that I'm here. I should sometimes, like, I pulled out a little bit last year to transfer, and it was just hilarious, like the adventures I have filmed. And maybe I would love one day to make a documentary or some series of stories.
Oh, I'm sure there's just a mine of stuff that you could put together. I don't know, that might be an interesting series of short videos that you could do. It
Wouldn't
necessarily have to be one long piece,
right? They're random.
To see them. They are. I've seen blips.
Dirty. Yeah. dirty videos. No, just like the camera was always dirty and there's all, you know, but that made it cool.
Yeah. So what's on the calendar for this week?
What's on the calendar? Let me look at it.
Well, can I ask you what brand of what the brand name is on the calendar?
Yes.
What store did this come from?
My therapist had, and I got the one she had. It is.
Oh, I thought this was the one Sean gave you. Is this not the?
Oh, that one. Yes. Let me go. This one. The one I have is the 2019-2020 Academic Essential Daily Planner.
Academic Essential Daily Planner.
Yes. Let me go grab the other one. Tell you what it is. It is the AFS Advanced Fastening Supply Incorporated.
Yes. I'm going to look that up right now. Advanced Fastening Supply.
FASTENING.
Fastening Supply.
Supply Incorporated.
Oh, this is such a place that I would love to go. I love hardware stores.
Yeah, what does it show?
It shows all sorts of fasteners. By category. Adhesive, sealants, caulk, foam. Oh, yes. Grinding, cutting, drilling, letters, cut. I love it all. That makes me happy. You've got a calendar, an AFS calendar. Well, you're set.
Yeah, I am.
You are set. Well, cool. So you got a busy week ahead.
Yeah, I'm gonna schedule some painting time.
Awesome. Are you getting time to get in the studio? Are you making time for studio stuff?
I'm not. But I just moved my work table out to my living room over the lake. So I had my studio in the back of the back. Now I'm just gonna take over the lake room.
Awesome.
What about you?
Well, I lasered some of the paintings. I'm kind of excited about it, actually. I'll have to send you a picture. Maybe I'll post in the show notes if I remember. But I am actually looking at, I've been dabbling with this program on the iPad, and I know you're not doing too much on the iPad, but the program's called Forger, Forger. Mm-hmm. And it's a sculpting app, which is just fantastic. I used it a couple of years ago, and it's gotten so much better. But if you're into digital sculpting, check out Forger. And then I finished a little sculpture today. It's just a little face that I did, and I'm going to print it out on the 3D printer tomorrow and paint it. I've done something similar before, but this is the first time that I've done it from the iPad to 3D printing. So I'm kind of dabbling with that. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Please help us grow our audience by rating us or writing a review on iTunes. To do that, you can use the link roominthetrees.com/iTunes.
You can follow us on Instagram at Sabrina Ward Harrison and at Trent Reynolds Art.
And check out the show notes at roominthetrees.com, where you can also get in touch if you have any ideas you'd like to share.
Rate us on iTunes and share Room in the Trees with a friend.
With a friend.
With a friend.